as we have been the past Sundays from the book of Philippians, as we begin to move toward the end of the book, this morning our sermon text is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And let's again stand out of reverence for God's Word. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, again, as we hear your word, we are thankful that you have spoken. Father, that you have not spoken about trivialities, that you have not spoken just to hear yourself speak. Father, you have spoken to us. You speak to our greatest needs. You speak to our hearts. Father, speak to our hearts this morning, that your Spirit would give us ears to hear. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Be anxious for nothing. What? Me? Worry? What's there for you to be anxious about? Except for maybe the fact that your latest client hasn't paid you yet. You forgot that your niece's graduation party was this weekend. You're never going to get your project done on time. The car's not running right. We don't have the money to pay the deductible. What if my son doesn't do well in the tournament? I wonder if that little twinge in my back is something I should be concerned about. Why didn't my boss call back? Maybe he didn't get my message. Maybe he did call back and I didn't get his message. What if he's waiting for me to call him back? Did I leave the iron on? What if my daughter doesn't make any friends when she goes to camp? What if I don't make any friends? What if I lose my job? What if it rains during the picnic? Why isn't the baby eating well? Was I supposed to be somewhere this morning? I wonder if I said the right thing to Jane. Maybe I said too much. Maybe I didn't make myself clear. And now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I've got to get up in 4 hours. I'm going to be tired all day tomorrow because I'm going to sleep because my mind won't shut off. So I might as well get out of bed now and do something. All right, maybe. Maybe a few things that you could worry about. So what is Paul thinking when he says, be anxious for nothing? You know, you could read those words and think, you have got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. That's impossible. It's like saying, don't be hungry. Don't be tired. How can you not worry? And yet, this is what God says. He says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Brothers and sisters, as we consider these words this morning, I recognize, I acknowledge that worry and anxiety is a complex subject. You know that in addition to heart issues, anxiety in some cases can occur as a result of physical or biological reasons. You know, in some cases the body can overproduce adrenaline, and that overproduction of adrenaline can produce anxiety attacks. There can be issues with brain chemistry that can heighten feelings of worry or anxiety. You know, I were to say if you deal with anxiety attacks, if you are prone to excessive worry, I would consider seeing a doctor or a counselor that can recognize, that can address those problems. In some instances, there can be a need for medication. There can be a need to learn to deal with the reactions that the body produces. There are times that worry is a byproduct of our own sin. If you are worried, if you are anxious that someone might realize that you told them a lie, that you deceived them, the way to deal with that is to repent of the sin, to confess to the person and ask for forgiveness. You know, if you are worried that so-and-so might see what you posted on your Facebook page, because it was something you shouldn't have posted in the first place, or if you're worried that you're not going to get your report done, you know, because you procrastinated and watched a movie instead of working when you should have been, You know, if you are worried that you have taken on more than you can do, that you are trying to control more than you control, you need to deal with worry there by, in effect, accepting the consequences of your actions or making some changes or getting some help or admitting your shortcomings. Anxiety is a complex subject, and there is much more that could be said about it than I'm going to say this morning. But our focus this morning is on what Paul has said in these two verses. And the anxiety that Paul is commanding us to lay aside is that worry that arises because we live in a fallen, sinful world where things go wrong, where things don't go according to plan and you find yourself in stressful situations. It's that worry that arises because we fail to trust God. We don't listen to God's word. We make other things more important than God. We forget about God. We blow our circumstances out of proportion. It's a worry that arises because we have forgotten, because we have neglected our union with Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, as we consider these words this morning, need to hear this. It needs to be clearly understood that these commands in these verses are rooted in the reality of your union with Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever bought something from a store that had to be assembled? You know, a bicycle, a dresser, a model airplane has to be assembled. And you're reading through the instructions, and it says, attach part A to part B. And you look through all the parts there, and you realize that you don't have part A. It's missing. It wasn't packed. At that point, the instructions that you have to attach part A to part B are worthless, because you don't have what's necessary to follow them. When Paul says, be anxious for nothing, he is working on this assumption that you are united to Jesus Christ. That's part A. And because you are united to Christ, you are to remember that union with Christ, that relationship with Christ, and be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. But if you haven't got part A, the instructions are worthless. And brothers and sisters, if you haven't got Christ, whether you realize it or not, you have a lot to worry about. Most importantly, you're standing before God. But if you do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, these words are significant. They flow out of that relationship. And brothers and sisters, may the Spirit again this morning give us ears to hear and hearts to hold what He says to us this morning. Remember your union with Christ. And the theme this morning, very simply, don't worry, be prayerful. Don't worry, be prayerful. First of all, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Put off worry. And admittedly, you know, as I alluded to here, there are 100 things you could worry about. We live in a fallen, sinful world that is filled with heartache. It's filled with suffering and sorrow and death. It is a world where bad things happen, sad things happen, tragic things happen. Some of you right now are dealing with financial pressures. You're dealing with the burden of debt. You have clients who are slow to pay. You wonder where the money's coming from for expenses. How are you going to pay the bills? Maybe you're concerned about loved ones. You have parents who are ailing. You're worried about making the right educational choices for your children. You maybe see behaviors or attitudes in some of your children that make you nervous a little bit, make you wonder if they're following in the faith. Maybe you're experiencing difficulty in your marriage. You might be wrestling with health problems. Maybe you're concerned about the future. You know, you're a young person. You're unsure what the future holds. People keep asking you, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? And you don't know. Maybe you have a newborn, you're expecting a baby. That's joyful, but it comes additional responsibility with it. Maybe you're wrestling with big decisions that affect the course of your life and family. And you might say, well, I need to be concerned about these things. I can remember preaching on this passage a number of years ago when I pastored in San Diego. And there was a woman in the congregation who was a research doctor. And she worked trying to find, you know, ways to treat highly infectious diseases. And after the sermon, she told me, I have to worry about my patients. I have to worry about them. It's worry for my patients that drives me to help them. You know, maybe you would say something similar. I have to worry. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to make this distinction, that there's a distinction between godly concern and godless worry. You know, back in chapter 2, verse 20 of Philippians, Paul speaks of Timothy who sincerely cares, who is genuinely concerned for the Philippians. And in the Greek text, the language is the same as this one, as the verse we're looking at this morning. In effect, you could say Timothy worries about the Philippians. But the verb there is rightly translated differently back in chapter 2, verse 20. Because Timothy's concern is not an unreasonable worry. It's not a distracting worry. It's not a worry that has resulted from the forgetfulness of God, meaning his forgetfulness of God. Rather, it's a concern and love for others that is God-centered, that flows out of his love for God. There is a distinction between godly concern and godless worry. And the temptation is to be weighed down, to be distracted, to be consumed with a godless anxiety. There are 100 things you could worry about, but the Holy Spirit says don't. Don't. You know, and Paul is not speaking naively here, as if, you know, he's unaware of the situations that people face. Paul, if he wanted to worry, has things he can worry about. He's writing from prison. Twice in this letter, he's mentioned his possible impending death. Paul is aware of the Philippian situation. He knows they are facing opposition for their faith. He knows there's tensions within the church. The Spirit knows of your situation. Paul is not unaware of the situations that people face, but Paul is also keenly aware of the reality of a believer's union of their relationship with Christ. He is keenly aware of that. And that's where he wants the believer's focus to be. You know, think for a minute about the old question. Is the glass of water half full or half empty? You know, kids, if I had a glass of water that was filled exactly to the midpoint, would you describe that glass as being half full of water or half empty of water? You know, and they say how you answer that question gives you an indication of how you view life. If you say half full, you're an optimist. You tend to think things are good, things turn out right. If you say half empty, you tend to be the pessimist. Things are bad, things don't turn out right. Well, sort of in a similar way, believer, how do you view your circumstances? How do you view your situations? You can look at your circumstances and you can view them, in effect, as the glass half empty and wrestle with the weight of everything you can worry about. Or as Paul would say, you can look at your circumstances and remember your union with Christ. And in effect, see the glass as half full. Paul is exhorting us as Christians to view all of our circumstances through our relationship with Christ. The Lord is near. He says just before he says, be anxious for nothing. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. In worrisome situations, remember your union with Christ. Brothers and sisters, in those situations, remember that in Jesus Christ, God has reconciled you to himself. Romans 5:8, God has demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Remember that Jesus suffered and died in your place. Revelation 1:5, he loved us and he washed us from our sins with his blood. And you no longer stand before God condemned, facing his wrath and judgment. You stand before God as his beloved sons and daughters. In Jesus Christ, you are able to call on God as Father. And your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. Jesus Jesus said, don't worry. Matthew 6. Don't worry, don't be anxious about what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry, don't be anxious about your body, what you'll wear. Because your Heavenly Father knows you need these things and He promises to provide. The engineering firm where my brother-in-law works has been laying people off. And now it's being proposed that the remaining staff, of which my brother-in-law is still one, is they will cut it back to just 3 weeks of work a month. You have a week unpaid vacation. You know, and my sister says, well, you know, my husband doesn't seem very worried about this. But shouldn't one of us be worried about it? And Jesus says, no. Jesus says, no. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. 1 Peter 5:7. Your Heavenly Father invites you. You get an invitation in the mail, maybe an invitation to a graduation party. You're invited. Oh, look, we're invited. 1 Peter 5:7. You can look it up. You're invited to cast your cares, your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. Here's the invitation. Oh, look, we're invited. To what, honey? To cast our anxieties upon our Heavenly Father because He cares for us. In Christ, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has adopted you as His children in Christ. He loves you in Christ with a love that is deep and high and wide. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He will never leave you or forsake you. Brothers and sisters, when you are prone to worry, and who among us isn't? When you are prone to worry, the Spirit says, look back to your relationship with Christ and the relationship that that gives you with your Heavenly Father. You know, we worry because we have a lack of certainty. We have a lack of assurance in a particular situation. You know, we worry when we're not responsible for everything. When we're having to leave things to other people. We worry when things are not ordered just as we would have them. Brothers and sisters, God has not always promised us certainty. He has not always promised us assurance. He has not always promised us order. But God has promised. He has revealed that He is sovereign. That He is in complete control. And brothers and sisters, peace is not found in you gaining control of everything. You know, that's what we do when we worry. We try to gain control of more and more. Because then I won't have to worry because I've got it under my control. The problem is there are too many things outside of my control. Peace is not found in gaining control of everything. Peace is found in resting in God's control and care. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and let me just read a little bit. Starting at verse 1. Here, in effect, is God's control and care. O Lord, verse 1, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. And what He knows of You, He knows of everyone else. You have hedged me, verse 5, behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to attain. It is high. I cannot obtain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there none of them, I'm sorry, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Brothers and sisters, God is not worried about your situation. God is not worried about your operation. He is not worried about your children. He is not worried about what you will eat, drink, and wear. Not because He doesn't care, but because He's in control. And that's not to say that God will work out everything as you hope or you think is best. But He will work out everything for the best, for the good of those who love Him. And what I want you to see out of Psalm 139 is not just the, if you will, depth of care and control that God has for those who are His. It's the psalmist's response to it. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. It's too wonderful. The psalmist delights in it. He delights in it. It is wonderful that you know me and search me and know the words before they come off my tongue and hem me in behind and before. It is wonderful that you knit me together in my mother's womb. That all the days ordained for me were fashioned before one of them came to be. It is wonderful. And in effect, now I lay me down to sleep, knowing the Lord my soul will keep. There's a peace in that for the psalmist. The peace has come not from him trying to control more and more, but by resting in God's sovereign care and control. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We worry sometimes because we haven't done everything right. We worry about what other people will think. But brothers and sisters, peace is not found in striving for perfection. It's not found in trying to win the approval of others. It is found in resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has done everything right for you. His righteousness imputed to you, and in Christ God accepts you as His son or daughter. Not a son or daughter having to earn the Father's blessing or acceptance. Jesus Christ has done that for you. Knowing the blessing and the love and the grace of a heavenly Father. You know, you worry about what other people think, other people's approval. Romans says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? No one. If God is for you, who can be against you? Paul is exhorting us as Christians to view all things, all of our circumstances through our relationship with Christ. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. In worrisome situations, remember your union with Christ. Don't worry. And then secondly, be prayerful. Pray about everything. putting off worry means putting on prayer. You know, 21 years ago, and I know it was 21 years ago because I remember this being played on the radio all the time this summer before I got married. There was this popular song on the radio, "Don't Worry, Be Happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy." You know, everybody my age remembers that. You young people, you can go YouTube it or something here this afternoon. But for you to remember kind of the theme of this, I'm twisting it because the Bible says something different. It says, don't worry, but it's not be happy. It's don't worry, be prayerful. Be prayerful. You know, here's the question. Do you worry? Do you worry? And the very simple follow-up is, do you pray? Do you pray about what you worry about? When you find yourself worrying, do you pray? Or do you just say, I know I should pray. I probably should pray. Do you pray? Because as Paul is wanting our focus turned back to Christ, prayer is a means of doing that. Prayer turns us back to Christ. It takes you back to Christ. And the command to pray here perfectly corresponds to the command not to worry. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. You're anxious about big things? Pray about the big things. You're anxious about little things? Pray about the little things. You know, and the emphasis on prayer cannot be overstated. Paul emphasizes the need to pray by using three different words for prayer in the text. You know, the New King James is prayer, supplication, and request. By prayer and supplication, bring your request. And Paul there is not distinguishing, I don't think, between three different types of prayer. I don't have to break it down for you with a chart now, what prayer, what supplication, and what request are. I'll submit that it's just Paul's sort of way of emphasizing the importance of prayer. By prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. You know, the example I'm going to present here is the example of Hezekiah back in the Old Testament. King Hezekiah, king of Judah, 700 B.C. This is 2 Kings 19. I'm not going to read from it. I'm just going to tell the story. You can look at it later if you like. King of Judah in 700 B.C. And during his reign, the mightiest military army on the earth at that time, the Assyrian Empire, led by King Sennacherib, comes and surrounds the city of Jerusalem, having laid waste to every kingdom on their march to Jerusalem. And Sennacherib surrounds the city and he says to Hezekiah, don't trust your God. Don't depend on your God. Don't be deceived by your God's promises because you're going down. No other nation's God has helped them. Capitulate now, Hezekiah. And Sennacherib's threats came to Hezekiah by means of a letter. Hezekiah did not worry. He prayed. He prayed. And this is what I like about this passage. You know, Hezekiah had something he could worry about, which meant that Hezekiah had something he could pray about. And we're told in 2 Kings 19:14 that Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. And then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. That's the image I like. Here's the letter. Here's the threats. And Hezekiah goes to the temple and he just lays out the letter. Here it is, God. Here's what I've got to worry about. I'm king of however many people. I've got the Assyrians outside and I can't do anything about it. In effect, read the letter for yourself, God. Here's what I'm worried about. He spreads the letter out before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray. In effect, spread your concerns before the Lord. You know, if your worry reminds you of your helplessness, Prayer is a means of acknowledging your dependence and confessing the greatness and the power of God. You know, when Hezekiah prayed, he prayed this. He prayed, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all kingdoms of the earth. You made heaven and earth. It doesn't tell us in the text, but maybe I could submit that Hezekiah started to feel a little better right then. I'm praying to someone greater than Sennacherib. I'm praying to the maker of heaven and earth. I'm praying to someone who holds the hearts of my children in their hands. I'm praying to the God who spread manna on the ground in the wilderness, who fed Elijah with ravens bringing meat and bread. I'm praying to the God who has vanquished the power of sin and Satan because He gave His Son to die on the cross. I'm praying to a great God. And in effect, if Sennacherib takes the city tomorrow, it's not because my God has failed. It's because my God is doing what He thinks is best. Brothers and sisters, we're to pray to our Heavenly Father to spread our concerns before Him. And Paul also says in Philippians to pray with thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And brothers and sisters, don't skip that step. Don't skip it. That's maybe the key in part to all of this, because nothing turns our attention to God like thanksgiving. Nothing turns our attention to God like thanksgiving. Well, thank God for what? Anything. Everything. For Jesus Christ, that He has given you the pearl of great price. He has given you salvation. That He has governed all of history. In one sense, so that you would have heard the gospel and believed. You know, if I just say it governed all of history so that you go to a funeral and meet a cousin who's been changed by the gospel, and that starts turning your life around. All of history governed so this Presbyterian minister meets the Moretz and has a Bible study at your home. You know what the stories are. Sorry, we're receiving people in membership faith. Randy, the brother back here, speaks to a woman when he's 40 years old about what's different about your life. And she says, you need to know God. Who governed all of that to happen? God did. Thank God for that. Thank God for your family, your children, your home, your health, your standard of living, for the answered prayers that He's given in the past, for the past deliverance, that He is in control. Bring your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving, because thanksgiving begins to put your current stressful situation into its proper perspective. In effect, it puts God's sovereignty and goodness at the forefront of your mind. And in stressful situations, in worrisome situations, you need to be reminded of God's sovereign goodness. And as you thank God for how He has walked you through your life to this point, it reminds you that God is also in control of your present situation. That He is to be trusted. That He is working all things together for good. Thanksgiving is the means that God uses to bring the peace that guard our hearts and minds. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. There's a connection between thankfulness and peace. And as you remember, as you thank God for what He's done in the past, you are able to trust God in the future. And then, brothers and sisters, having prayed, having spread your concerns out before God with thanksgiving, rest in the peace of God. You know, Paul writes here in verse 7 that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I believe that promise because God has said it. But I'm going to submit that I don't think it's a magic promise. Maybe say, I have prayed and I haven't felt that peace. But brothers and sisters, I think this is something that God works in us over time. Just as Paul will go on in a few more verses to speak of that he learned to be content. I think this is, in effect, something we learn. Something that we grow in. The not being anxious. The learning to pray more faithfully. The learning to be more consistent with our praise. The whole Psalm 139 thing, where the psalmist praises God that he is fearfully and wonderfully made and he delights in it. The peace that he knows, I think that's something that the psalmist grew in. As these things were practiced more and more in his life. That more and more, as that drew him closer to God, that he was able to say, too wonderful. I'll rest in that. You know, remember your union with Christ. Turn your eyes back toward it. By means of seeking not to worry, to put it off, by means of seeking to prayer with thanksgiving. And that peace of God that surpasses all understanding grows in a believer's heart. Don't worry. Be prayerful. Brothers and sisters, remember your union with Christ. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall lack nothing. Start there. That's part A. Start there, brothers and sisters. And then out of that reality, by grace, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves you, believer. He loves you. Don't worry. Be prayerful. Let's pray. Our Father, we freely confess our weakness. And we confess that our minds are troubled and our souls get troubled. And Father, we would ask that you would turn our hearts back to our union with Jesus Christ. To remember that the Lord is near, and Father, that flowing out of that, we would rejoice in the Lord always. That our graciousness would be evident to all. Father, that you would help us not to worry, but to be prayerful. And that you would fill our hearts with that Psalm 139 peace. Father, we ask that you shepherd us. Lead us to green pastures. Lay us down beside the still waters. Lead our souls in the way of righteousness. Father, help us to remember the table that has been prepared in the presence of our enemies. That surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, would those thoughts fill our hearts in the place of where they could be filled with anxiety? We pray in Christ's name.